Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Proverbs. Fooled ya. Didn't see that coming, did ya? So we're reading from Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 27. Just trying to fool you because that's the whole proverb. So prepare your heart for the reading of God's holy word. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the ways of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Could I have all the kids join me this morning? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody today. Now, I'm sure all of you know that it's Father's Day today. And in our scripture lesson for today, we read this. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. How many of you listen to the wise things that your father say? All the time? Not all the time. Well, I have a list here of some very wise sayings, and I know I've heard my father say some of them, and probably some of the other fathers can all agree that they've said this. So, they say, why? Because I said so, that's why. Right? Did your dad say that? Alright. They also say, just wait till you have kids of your own. How many have heard that? You hear that? Let's see, do I look like I'm made out of money? Who said that? You've heard that? Let's see. Oh, this one's my favorite. My dad doesn't say this exactly. He says, not now I'm watching the Weather Channel. This says watching the game, but it could go for both. No, we are not lost. How many have heard that? All right. And this is probably the wisest thing that any father has ever said. Ask your mother. How many hear that? So, we know that our fathers are wise, but they also don't know everything. They are still just humans like everybody else. And they don't have all the answers, but we just want to thank them this morning and remember all the things that they do for us. And so, I want us to all stand up and look at all the fathers out there and all the grandfathers and uncles and anybody else who might be a father out there and tell them Happy Father's Day. Can we all do that? Come on, let's stand up. Stand up. All right. Ready? One, two, three. Happy Father's Day. All right. Let's bow our heads and pray quick.
Liza.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all the fathers that you've given us and the wise counsel that they have for us. And we pray that we can always listen to them and know that they are seeking what's best for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We have fruit snacks, it looks like, today.
Yeah.
And lollipops.
And lollipops.
Well, this is Father's Day weekend where dads are pampered and complimented and appreciated and given gifts. But one little boy gave an interesting description of Father's Day. He said, you know, it's just like Mother's Day, but you don't have to spend as much money on the gift. You know, this is a really tough time to be a parent, tough time to be a father, because of so many competing things for our time and our energy and our money. And really, any one of us, not those dads, but any one of us that are here this morning could be answering any of these requests all at one time. The PTO needs a new treasurer, and you're nominated. I mean, after all, you're an accountant, right? Or one of the church leaders begs you to sign on for another year as a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. Or the president of the Lions Club has called and has begged you to be chairman of the fundraisers this year. And he reminds you of all of the good things that the Lions do. Boy Scouts are desperate for another leader, and unless one is found, then will have to be discontinued. Now, you just learned, though, coming home from work, that there's going to be a coming retirement, and it's going to be some reshuffling going on at work, and the one who shows the most initiative, the one who takes on extra projects, the one who shows the most enthusiasm, is going to be the one that's moving up, and that could be you. The president of United Way begs you to coordinate the gifts from major companies in your area, because after all, you have all the good connections. And he reminds you of all of the agencies that are really depending on those funds. And the local baseball team called, and they are in dire need of a coach, and the program is not going to continue unless you say yes to the position. Then, as you face all of those choices, you look at a picture of your family. The children are growing so fast. And your wife, only in half in jest, suggests that she would make an appointment so that she could come and see you. Now, take heart, dads. There is help for you in the scriptures. You know, the famous author and preacher, Max Lucado, he points to four important words that can be found in Matthew 14:22. These are the words. Jesus dismissed the crowd. Now think about what was going on now. I'm just going to give you the Cliff Note version. This was not just any crowd that's being referenced in this passage. There was about 10,000 people who had heard Jesus teach. They had seen him heal the sick. They had watched him produce enough food that miraculously fed them all. The crowd was ready to make him king, but Jesus dismissed them. Now, inquiring minds want to know, why in the world would Jesus dismiss such a huge crowd that was ripe for conversion? Well, verse 23 explains it. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. You see, Jesus said no to what was a really good opportunity so that he could say yes to a better one. Jesus had made the deliberate choice to honor his priorities. Now, Jesus completely understood that his first responsibility was not to satisfy the crowd. It was to be faithful to his heavenly Father. On another occasion, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." You know, that's a word we don't like in our culture, meek. To our modern ears, it sounds like weakness. You know, to our modern ears, it sounds like being wishy-washy or wimpy. That is not how their ears would have heard it. The Greek word for meek used in the Bible is the same word described to train a wild stallion to be ridden. It means power under control. It means strength with direction. It means to be focused. Blessed are the focused, those who know their priorities and those who honor them. You know, I didn't know this until I read it this week preparing for this message. And, you know, you hunters, you probably knew this. But did you know that there is approximately the same amount of gunpowder in a firecracker as there is in a rifle shell? I didn't know that. Yes, you're saying yes, you knew that. Well, I'm a girl. What can I say? The difference, though, is that the firecracker is unfocused. It just makes a great big noise. It doesn't really accomplish anything. The rifle shell, however, focuses that power in a specific direction. So, if we take that to a conclusion that I'm trying to make is, you can be a firecracker Christian, or you can be a rifle shot Christian. It's a matter of focus. Paul was a highly focused rifle shot Christian. He said, "I press towards the mark for the high call of God in Christ Jesus." You can be a firecracker parent all over the place, or you can be a rifle shot parent, single-minded. A firecracker parent makes a lot of noise. I think we've all seen them on the sidelines during a soccer game. A rifle shot parent, however, gets results because they are focused. It's a matter of focus. On this Father's Day weekend, I want to suggest three truths that are going to help dads. Well, and moms for that matter, because, you know, obviously we don't want to be left out. I thought it would be really, really cool if, even as parents, but dads specifically this morning, if we could focus on some healthy priorities. Now first, and this is really, really important to remember, a dad is a role model 24 hours a day. Dads communicate their values by what they say, what they praise, what they condemn, what they ignore, and even more powerfully, by what they live. Our children listen to every word we say, and they listen to every word we don't say, and they watch everything we do, and they draw their own conclusions from that. Now, adults, no one is exempt from this. We are all role models constantly, whether we like that or not. If you mumble racial slurs when you listen to the evening news, your child is going to form conclusions based on that. If your child hears you use God's name in a profane way or carelessly, your child is going to draw conclusions not only about God, but also about your relationship with God. Now, none of us is perfect, and we sometimes show our worst side to our children. Can I get an amen? But what's important is that when we fail, and when we fall, and we will, those are the times when we tell them we messed up, when we confess that we messed up, and we ask them and God to forgive us. Now, a second truth for parents is this: nothing can substitute for your presence. Many parents rationalize this away. I hear it all the time, you know, well, you know, especially in this busy world that we live in, you know, I don't spend that much time with my kids. But what I do spend with my kids is quality time. Well, the truth is, kids do need quality time. Kids need tons and tons of quality time. You know, a first grader asked his mother one time why Dad brought home his briefcase full of material every night. And she said that he had so much work to do that he could not accomplish it all at the office. And the little guy said to his mother, "Well, why don't they put him in a slower group? You know, parents, you know, we need to remember that if you can't say no to some of the claims that are on your life, you know, your life is going to drip away like a leaky faucet, and you're not going to make much of a splash anywhere. And isn't it sad when you come into the winter of your life and you're sliding into home and you have not made a splash anywhere? You know, finally, there's a third truth about parenting. No one can lead a child to God as well as a parent can. If parents fail, chances are very slim that the church or a grandparent or a friend can make up that failure. Children are so bright and they are so observant. I was just telling Diane this before. I used to have a habit that no one in the church knew about, talking about observant children. And one time a little guy told me after church, you know, Pastor Sonny, I know when you're almost done with your sermon. And I said, really? How do you know? And he says, you put your shoes back on and you get taller. Now, I don't do that anymore, but back in the day when we were all wearing heels, ladies, you remember those days? I'd come up to the pulpit, I'd slip my shoes off, I would preach barefoot, get to the end, I'd slip my shoes off, I'd say my conclusion, I was off. I didn't think anybody knew that. Little guys did, paying attention. Children are bright. Nothing gets by them. And if they sense that the Bible is not an important book to you in your life, you know what? It is not going to be an important book for them and theirs either. And if children sense that Sunday worship is a grim duty to you rather than a treasured privilege and an exciting party on a Sunday morning, you know what's going to happen? As soon as they are given the freedom, they're going to stop attending. Happens all the time. Talked to a friend of mine at the Lighthouse Church one time, a pastor, and he said, yeah, he said they graduate from high school and they graduate from church. If a child seldom sees you pray, except for that little memorized ditty, you know, at the supper table, you know the one, your kids are not going to take prayer seriously. You know, let me just an aside here. It is tough to get together to pray. But you know what? If you are together for a meal a day, as we always require in our house, you don't have to say that memorized prayer. You know what? Kick that to the curb. Pray something about the day. Pray something personal. Pray something real. Talk to God with your children around the table. It's amazing the difference it will make in your relationship with your kids. Anyway, you know, I've known fathers. I'm not looking at anybody in this congregation, just so you know. Well, obviously, and you'll see why. I've known fathers who get up before dawn so that they can get out into the woods and get set up before sunrise. And yet their excuse for not coming to church is that it's too early. I knew a mom who had a very well-bred dog. Every weekend she was off to dog shows at extreme, extreme expense. She would not take her daughter to Sunday school because she said she couldn't afford to buy her church clothes. You know, one day, God may ask her, you know, why did you care more about your dog than you cared about your precious daughter's spiritual well-being? That might be a question she has to answer someday. I have learned so much over the years from my parishioners. I have to tell you, over the years, you guys have held me accountable, and I appreciate that so much. One of the deacons in my first church noticed with dismay that I never took family vacations, ever. And it was true. For the first 7 years of my ministry, I never took a Sunday off, ever. I felt like it was my duty to sacrifice for the congregation. And not only that, pay close attention to this, I felt like that it was the job of my family to sacrifice for the congregation. So, any member who called for any reason took precedence over the needs of my children and my family. In retrospect, here's the deal. I didn't help anybody in the church with that perspective. And one of the elders in my church actually stood by for a while, but eventually really tore in me about that, about how I always held my family as second-class citizens. You know, I had to learn a hard lesson that honestly many pastors never learn, and that is your family is your first ministry. Not to mention the fact that one time John said, oh, honey, you have to take a vacation because they're going to get a new pastor someday, and they're going to expect him never to take a vacation, and that is not fair to that new pastor. You know, it doesn't matter how well thought of you are by others outside of the walls of your own home. I mean, let's just say it like it is. If you are not well thought of inside the walls of your home, by your family, by your wife, by your children, by your husband, you have failed in your primary ministry to God. You know, there was a preacher back in the 1800s. His name was Clovis Chapel. You know how I just love history. Well, anyway, this is actually a famous story now. He tells of two paddle boats. They're on the Mississippi River. And they were kind of, the crews were kind of shouting back and forth. You know, just fun. But they got to kind of challenging each other. And they kind of started making some disparaging remarks about how slow each ship was, you know. And so they began this race. And the competition, they were really kind of neck and neck as they were roaring down the Mississippi. But one boat began falling behind because there wasn't enough fuel. Now, there had been plenty of coal for the trip, but there wasn't plenty of coal for a race. Now, as the boat kind of dropped back, an enterprising crew member, he started throwing the ship's cargo into the fire. And he was just tossing the ship's cargo into the ovens, and the boat caught up. And they were making fuel out of what was on the boat. And they finally did win the race. But in the process, they had burned all their cargo. Everything that they were getting paid to carry. The very material that they had been hired to transport, they burned it all up in the furnace. Now, dads, moms, our primary mission is not to win any race. Our primary mission is not to be thought of highly by those outside of the walls of our home. Our primary mission is to faithfully care for the people that have been entrusted to us, those who have been set before us, blood relatives and others that the Lord sets before us in our lives, those who have been given to us by God, and they may be related to us and they may not be. But especially if we have children. Blessed are the focused. Those who know what their priorities are. And those who honor them. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, the culture in which we live in is no mystery to you. It's no surprise to you that we are torn and harried. So, Father God, we pray that you would give us the grace, the wisdom, and the strength to lay down those things in our lives that you have not told us to do. It's all good stuff, Father, but it's not all ours to accomplish. And we pray that we would rearrange our priorities, that you and the worship of you would be at the top, because then everything else will fall together like a puzzle. Help us to put aside what we think things should be, and help us to care about what you think things should be. For we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.